Get ready for a podcast from Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
We are currently joined here by an artist, thinker,
savant,
an acrylic poet, as I would call him, Nick Guildford. How are we doing today, Jim?
Good, yeah, thank you for having me on. Yeah,
doing good. A little bit cold, rainy.
A little bit cold, yeah. Have some sniffles through this. Yeah.
No worries. I got a sleeve you can blow your nose.
Oh, great, thank you.
So, we're here to talk about your latest exhibit, Ichthyosis. For the most part, it is a lot of paintings.
Yes.
As well as some prints.
Yep.
And there's also a little claymation film.
There is, yeah,
which,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it goes for like, well, half a minute? 40
minutes?
Yeah,
roughly, yeah, 30 seconds. Yeah, yeah.
I'll start off with that. I mean, I've heard that claymation is like a very time-intensive process.
Mm.
How long did it take you to make that?
Yeah, yeah, flipping ages. Yeah, yeah. It's funny, when I started it, I thought it'd just be like a little side project I can do while I'm painting, and, you know, yeah, if I have like fall into a bit of a rut when I'm painting, then can go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once I started, I just kind of realized, you know, after like, you know, half an hour flick through the images, and it's only like, you know, 1 second when you stitch them all together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it took ages, but it was really fun because there's so many different parts to it. You know, you build a little set, and
mm-hmm.
got my mate to help me with that, Yosef, and then you like to sculpt it all, and it was really fun. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to kind of have a moving image with the exhibition too. It kind of just, yeah, makes the place feel a bit more, you know, less static. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
dynamic, and yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was real fun to watch. I love how when you're doing like the kind of when the little dude transforms into a demon guy,
the
globby thing.
Yeah,
you use a little bit of like a wool or yarn or something.
Yeah, kind of like so fun. Just stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, it's really fun.
Real cute. What was like the scale you were using? Like, how big was this little
bit? Oh, jeez. Yeah. I don't know. We'll just say that is like, yeah, like,
oh, yeah,
like
average.
Average
pointer to thumb height.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's sick.
Yeah, yeah. So all pretty small, but no, it's really fun. Yeah, get some little pins out, and you move everything, and no, it was epic. Yeah, keen to do it again. So
yeah. And also, I mean, great job shooting it as well, because I imagine like a lot of it is camera angles.
I'm so clumsy too. I got this tiny studio, and like, you know, it's kicking into the camera and like, yeah, but you can kind of see it, and it like jumps around, but kind of makes it in a way. So yeah, but no, good fun. Yeah,
I really like how it reinforces the idea of the show, which is, if I'm paraphrasing from the show description, it's how the youth kind of navigate the world when there's all this horrible developments happening with technology, with global politics, with increasingly harsh social paradigms.
Yeah,
that's a quote.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the claymation did a really excellent job of kind of pursuing that theme, and I was wondering, although the show is, you know, all about those negative world events, how do you stay hopeful about that things will get better, and does your art play a role in expressing these feelings?
Yes, ultimately, like, yeah, it is a bit pessimistic, and but I kind of believe that you need that initial driving force behind it, you know.
For sure.
Pessimistic paintings can be, you know, quite emotive, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
kind of break that apathy that a lot of people, that kind of barrier can kind of get. So I think that's the initial thing there, and so, yeah, it is a bit pessimistic, but I think underlying that and kind of blanketing the whole thing is just this idea of just mutuality, you know, so that, and reinforcing this idea that these problems are shared by us, because a lot of times these sort of problems that we face can feel, you know, can make us quite alienated.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like we're the only ones that experience this, and, you know, with the language that we use today, and, you know, with social media and so many other factors, we can often feel like we can't really properly talk to our mates about these things, you know.
Yeah.
Your mate's depressed, but you can't really accurately explain why, you know. It's such an abstract thing, and the world's changing, you know, at such a rapid rate. So yeah, I think just reinforcing this idea that it's like, yeah, it's like, this is why we feel like crap all the time, and this mm-hmm. is why you feel so, you know, that you don't feel so fulfilled with some things. And so yeah, pessimistic, but at the same time pushing that idea that, you know, it's not just you. And,
yeah,
you know, we can, yeah, let's find the problem, let's sort through this, and
yeah,
so that's the first step, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, no, missional.
Yeah. Like, exactly. That. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers.
It's kind of similar, I guess. I was watching, I think it was a month ago, I was watching a video on YouTube about this new AI that is text to generate or whatever, and it's a video generation thing.
Oh,
have you seen that?
Yeah, that's
it's
scary.
Scarily accurate.
Yeah,
like, that was when you said technology's changes, I was immediately like, war robots and AI.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's so frightening, eh? Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you just have to keep up with it, you know? Like, you feel like you're falling behind, but yeah, I think, yeah, part of the exhibition as well is just, you know, it's just like to kind of slow down a little bit. Like, it's all good. Like, we don't have to, you know, save the world at, you know, 18, 20 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I think that spirit is reinforced because there's a kind of a live DJ there.
Mm.
Yes. And was that your idea to put the DJ
there? It was. Yeah, it was. And yeah, everyone was keen on the idea. Yeah, it was just really fun. Yeah, like having the open aux was, makes it quite interactive and sort of, I don't know, people can kind of put on their own tunes and, yeah, it's quite fun. And like kind of having the DJ, it took a while to set up the whole space, but we kind of landed on this idea that have the DJ kind of open and not close off in a corner, you know, everyone kind of walking around, kind of that whole, you know, boiler room type thing. But yeah, it's great. Like people just chatting to the DJ and then, you know, like, you know, asking to put some songs on. And yeah, I think it worked quite well. So I think we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to incorporate it for future shows?
Yes, yeah, I think so. So, yeah, it's all quite tentative at the moment, so we're trying to focus on this one. But, yeah, so future shows, yeah, got a couple of ideas floating around. Yeah, possibly get bigger rig in, you know. Yeah.
Bigger rig.
Yeah, bigger rig. Yeah,
rig it up, baby.
Yeah. Try and plan that out, yeah, because music, yeah, accompanying art is, yeah, I think it's, yeah, really powerful. I think it's really, really nice and
totally
enhances it. And,
totally.
Yeah, it really helps kind of, like, create a bit more introspection and, yeah.
And often I find when art and music does collide in a gallery setting, it's usually ambient. But I like how it's more, like, way more involved.
Thank you.
More,
yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of a, it was a rough shot kind of doing that because I didn't know how it would work. But,
Yeah,
I'm glad it worked. Yeah. It was good. Yeah, that was lots of fun.
So. It goes hard, eh? I guess we'll talk about the meat and potatoes of this exhibition, the paintings themselves.
Yes.
Now, this is a style, I've gone through your Instagram, and it's a style that seems to have carried through over the years. It's kind of, if I could describe it, I don't know the actual art style, like realist or surrealist or whatever, but it's using a lot of kind of dark and light.
Yeah.
For the most part, pretty dark elements.
Yeah.
And then like a light will just kind of shine through.
Yeah, that's right.
They're kind of blurry as well.
Mm.
A little bit blurry. How would you kind of accurately describe the term for your film?
That's a good question. I always struggle with this. Yeah. And it's evolved so much over time. It's really hard to pin down. I don't know. I suppose in a historical sense, it definitely has elements of cubism.
Yeah.
So kind of that multifaceted sort of things, you know, like, you know, a face from the side and a face from, you know, profile and, you know. So it kind of has that idea. It's like this kind of unfolding sort of paper and, you know, different size to it all. And then also, I suppose, expressionist in a way, you know. Yeah, so kind of taking that subjective view and, you know, just trying to draw that emotion out. But at the same time, I don't know, I feel like that, yeah, kind of like that's just kind of scratching the surface. It's, I don't know, yeah, it has really evolved over time. I've really found that when I paint, I kind of go from sort of like a, it's like yes switch inside my head. So I'll be trial and error for ages, you know, like working away at something, and then just something will go in my head and go like yes, and I just leave it, and then I go into the next bit, you know, like. So I'm not sure. Yeah, it's just
it's a process.
It's a process. Yeah,
it's organic process.
Yeah, that's right. Tough question. Yeah. I can answer that, but that's great.
No, a lot of artists, I think, struggle to describe how they're out.
Oh, yeah,
they're
okay.
You're not the only one, mate.
Yeah.
Whenever I see it, I always think of The Thing movie poster. Have you seen The Thing? Movie poster?
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie poster.
I'll show you after.
That'd be great.
I quit it all. It's quite similar to your stuff.
Yeah, but The Thing's great. Yeah, that's a compliment. It's
beautiful, man.
Have you
seen The Thing?
Oh, it's a great film.
Never seen it.
Top tier film.
It's in the movie poster, then.
Yeah, you've seen the movie poster. I was going to say, I've noticed a bit of a development in your paintings last night when I saw kind of a cool clear image of a night vision possum.
That was dope.
How did that come to you?
Oh, jeez, I don't know. It's a bit of a random, I think it's a bit of a last minute thing. The painting was almost done and kind of chucked it in the corner, and for some reason it worked really well. I don't know, I had this kind of idea, like, it sounds a bit crude, but kind of that, this sort of, like, visual metaphor in a way that, you know, our generation can somewhat be, like, a bit of, like, pest in the headlights, you know, like, not meant to be here, or what are you doing, a bit of imposter syndrome kind of thing.
True.
And again, very crude to say we're, like, pests, you know, but again, it's just a motive thing, you know, you got to try and push that, you know, right to its max so people can break their apathy.
Yeah,
so that was kind of an idea, but, yeah, the actual image itself I got from, like, a doc website or something.
Oh, cool.
It's just like, epic photos. So just use that as a reference. And
Nice. Yeah, I love a lot of those, we call it trail cam things.
I always thought
when the kind of dumb AI funny meme images came out originally, there were the funny photos of like Joe Biden in a trail cam. That was really funny.
Hilarious.
I guess another really cool facet of the exhibition is that there's kind of a match the name to the art guide.
Yeah.
Where did this kind of inspiration for this idea come from?
Yeah, this was all Riley Smith's doing. Yeah, he's a flipping genius, man. So I got Riley on board kind of in the early days of this sort of exhibition, because I asked him just for a simple booklet, and then he, just knowing Riley, just takes it to the max, and it's awesome, man. Like, so the whole idea is that it's my palette that I worked off. So there's always different colours, just splotches everywhere, and then he's broken it up into all these little rectangles, and so each rectangle has a painting associated with it, and so basically you can just match these up to the paintings. So if you're walking around the exhibition, and there'll be a little rectangle with a random little splotch of paint over here, and then you kind of turn your booklet around, and it'll match up eventually. Mm-hmm. And so this whole idea was to break up the sort of hierarchy that art galleries can, or exhibitions can, kind of have sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. like I was saying before, you don't think it consciously, but when it's 1, 2, 3, 4, you often think number one is the best painting, and number two is, but there's not really. And these paintings also, they're not connected in a chronological time as well, one doesn't lead to the other necessarily, and it's all a bit of a map, and that kind of ties into sort of the meaning of the exhibition as well, just this kind of like strange lattice that we're kind of living in, where nothing really leads to another, and 1 + 2 does not equal 3, and it's just, kind of building on that idea, but it's genius. When Riley came to me with the final product, I was just blown away. So, shout out to him. Incredible. Yeah.
What's Riley's last name?
Smith.
Smith. Riley Smith.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Incredible designer. And this is on his project. So,
very intelligent, I think, and also reinforces the kind of absurd themes. Mm. Very intelligent, experienced design for sure. Mm,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I guess the last question I have you on this semi chimescent Dunedin day is. The show's name is Ichthyosis, which is a scientific term to describe lizards shedding their skin. Where did the name come from, and what do you think you're shedding?
Or
the show is shedding.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good question. I got the idea. It took a while to land on a name, because, that's kind of just like the root of it all, and everything kind of fans out from there. Mm-hmm. I got the name because I think I was listening to like a Flume album at the time, and like this song that came up, and it's called Ichthyosis, and I was like, I wonder what that actually means, and searched it up, and I was like, holy shit, like that's like perfectly it. That just encapsulates it all, and so it was just a perfect blanket for it all. I suppose what we're shedding, I suppose we're kind of just shedding our old selves. It's this kind of metaphor that, like constantly reinventing yourself is a pretty natural thing, but at this time and age, it feels quite rapid, and every time you shed, you've lost your armor and you're a bit vulnerable, and so I guess it's kind of just a metaphor for that, and it's a funny word too. People kind of look at it
and go,
"What the hell?"
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
Can I just jump in with my own last question?
No.
You had your turn. So the show's on until the 20th of May at the Community Gallery.
Yeah.
Now, for plebs like myself who don't actually know where the Community Gallery is, where can they find you?
Yeah, good question. So that is somewhat between Moray Place and the Octagon. So the Nine and Day and the Octagon, which I'm sure a lot of people know very well. You walk towards the Exchange, and you'll see it's big glass windows, we've got stuff on the inside, all quite blaring and everything, but it's 26 Princess Street, so if you Google that, it should pop up.
It's I think it might be the exact same office, or right next to the office that Fringe headquarters usually occupies.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's how I was familiar with it. But Te Whare Ora Kutia.
That's the one. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today,
thank
man.
You. Thank Absolute you. Pleasure. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Likewise, mate. Likewise. That was local artist Nick Guilford talking about their brand new exhibit, Ichthyosis, which you can go see at Te Whare Ora Kutia on Princess Street.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.